Father, you're there and you show up, and we give you thanks for that. And so we pray that you would help us to continue to be present with you. And we certainly ask that you would help us to set aside the distractions from the past week or couple of weeks, and maybe whatever the week ahead looks like, so that we would just take a moment just to be in worship of the only one who is worthy of our worship, and to continue to be present as you are here with us. And so we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the things that you would have for us as we continue our study through the book of Hebrews. We pray that your Spirit would move and guide us. You would open your word to us that it might be fresh and new. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 44. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. Current message series is entitled Through the Veil, and it's a study through the book of Hebrews. And the author of Hebrews is making the case that Jesus is the best. Jesus is the best of the best. And we talk about, I titled this message series Through the Veil because of the passage from that we read through the Gospels of the act of Jesus on the cross that did what? It tore the veil in two. See, the veil was, back in those times, was the barrier between sort of the normal people and God. The veil, it was literally a curtain that hung in the temple, and there was only one dude who could go through the curtain one day a year. The high priest on the Day of Atonement could go through that curtain or through that veil into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the place where it was believed that God's presence resided. Jesus, with his death on the cross, did what? Tore down that veil. Jesus made a way for you and for me through the veil. And the writer of Hebrews kind of lays out this whole case as to how and why Jesus is the best and how he has made a way for us through the veil. And so over the couple of weeks, we've been talking about, as we lead up to Easter, different things about how Jesus is, you know, the best prophet, the best priest, the best sacrifice. And while most of us, I would say, probably aren't experiencing any sort of severe persecution because we have chosen to call ourselves Christians, maybe some, but I'm going to guess most of us haven't, that there's sometimes still a pull for us when we think about what our life was like before Jesus or what it looked like before we followed Christ, that sometimes there's still a little bit of a pull to want to go back to that. The writer of Hebrews is talking to a group of individuals who are kind of in this place where they're like, we don't really know if Jesus is the best thing or following Jesus or being a Christian is the best thing. And we're kind of being pulled maybe to go back to what we knew before we knew Christ. This morning, we've talked about Jesus is God. We've talked about Jesus is human. This morning, I want to talk about Jesus is Sabbath. And I think before we jump into that, it's important to recognize, so we have a kind of an understanding of what that word means. So the word Sabbath, definition, means to cease, desist from work, to rest, to put an end to remove. Okay? To cease, desist from work, to rest, put an end to remove, right? Think about the word sabbatical, right? Maybe you have ever had it sounds to me like a dream. So if you've ever had the dream, if you've ever had the opportunity, the privilege to have a sabbatical, or know maybe a colleague who has, the idea of a sabbatical is that you just take some time away, right? Maybe months, maybe it's a year, or whatever the case might be. We get the word sabbatical from the word Sabbath, to remove, to kind of stop, to take a rest, to take a break from, okay? So that's kind of what we're talking about when we talk about Sabbath as we look at Hebrews chapter 4. So if you're taking notes, we're looking at Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to be mostly in Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 13, but I'm going to skip around a little bit on that. Bring your Bibles, because sometimes I don't put the words on the screen, trying to keep you on your toes. So bring your Bibles to church. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1, and then we'll kind of skip around a little bit within these verses. Therefore is always a key word in Scripture. Whenever you're reading the Bible and you come across the word therefore, immediately, you should almost immediately look back at what just preceded that word. So in chapter 3, remember we talked about last week that Jesus is human, fully God, fully human, right? It's that weird thing we think about too much. It hurts our brains. Jesus is fully human, and we talked about him being the pioneer of our faith, was a word that we talked about last week. Well, then the writer of Hebrews compares Jesus to one who would have been seen as kind of a really great pioneer, the guy named Moses, and says, Jesus is even better than Moses. Whoa. Talks about leading the people to the threshold of the promised land, which that language is going to come up again in chapter 4 as we spend some time reading. So he's talking about this Moses, and he's talking about Jesus is better than Moses, and then he says, therefore, right? So chapter 3, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest, see the promise of the promised land, of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Verse 4, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. Therefore, verse 6, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, he's talking about, remember the story of Moses taking the people out of Egypt? And then where did they go? They went into the wilderness because they were on their way to the promised land. And how long did they spend in the wilderness? 40 years. 40 years because God wanted a generation of followers who were disobedient to do what? Die off. And then he was going to bring them into his promised land, which would be a place of rest or Sabbath for God's people, the Israelites. And so 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, which symbolizes we are in the season of Lent, which also we remember by the season of Lent that Jesus went into the wilderness for how long? 40 days to be prepared for, tempted, tested, and enter into his public ministry as he comes back from that. So see how all of these things are connected to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to enter into the promised land. They didn't quite get there, but Moses was able to bring them to the threshold of the promised land, but Moses himself never went in. The writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is better. Jesus is not only going to make a way for us through the veil into the promised land. Jesus is the promised land. So then Jesus, in his ministry on earth, as a human, goes for 40 days into the wilderness to show us this, how this can be. Here is what obedience looks like, even when we're in the midst of the wilderness in our lives. Therefore, since verse 6, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted today. This comes from Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, Joshua was the guy who actually led them into the promised land back in the day. God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of the ones who wandered in the wilderness of their disobedience. Verse 12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So when we talk about this morning about Jesus as Sabbath, I want to talk about it in these two ways. First, I want to talk about Sabbath from work. We'll unpack that here in a second a little more. I also want to talk about Sabbath of Jesus. So we're going to talk about Sabbath from something, then we're going to talk about Sabbath is Jesus. Jesus is Sabbath, okay? When we talk about Sabbath from work, I want you to think about it in two ways. The first one is the work of work, and then the work of pretending. Sabbath from work, the work of work. All of us are doing the work of work. It's jobs, it's parenting, it's grandparenting. It doesn't matter whether you are retired or not. It is the things that are necessary for not just survival, but also for thriving. Not just to survive, but also to thrive. Now, sometimes we forget that that sitting on the other end of this teeter-totter of the work of work is our friend rest. We're in a season right now of spring breaks. So where we are as a church and where we're located, we will have roughly 3 Sundays, if not 4, that are impacted by a school district's spring break around us, okay? So even school systems recognize that students need a rest from, a Sabbath from the work of school. So when we talk about this idea of Sabbath from work, the work of work, it's easy for us to be thinking, you know, life is busy, it's hectic, it's chaotic. But yet we can't forget or think that we can keep doing the work of work without rest. That's simply not sustainable. Now, there are times in your life and in mine when life forces us into experiencing Sabbath. For me, personally, the last 2 weeks have just been just tiresome. Not even necessarily like, if you've ever had those seasons or those weeks where not bad, just tiresome, just stuff. Not like huge stuff, but just stuff. Some of it is good stuff. Some of it's annoying stuff, but just stuff. So it's made for 2 weeks of just tired, right? And this past week, we have 3 children, 6, a 4, and a 2-year-old, and our 2-year-old has been sick all week. So that physical rest does not exist right now for myself or my wife. And sometimes life forces you to take a Sabbath, to resist from, to cease. We had that yesterday. Cecil woke up, who's our youngest. He woke up with a fever that was just over 105 degrees. And he's fine. So let me preface with he's fine. Okay. Kind of that's part of his thing, is high temps. Like, he's just hot guy. So he woke up, he's been battling a fever all week, right? He's had it, and then it goes away, and we're like, yeah, great. And we, you know, shove him back in school, and then he comes home, and it's like, bah, and sleeping's not been a thing. Right, I'm telling you, it's 2 weeks, and so this week in particular. And so yesterday morning, we thought, you know what, we're going to take him to the doctor. And so we go to the doctor, and doctor says, you know what, you might want to take him to the ER. And we're like, oh, right? Because you have this, because life. And so, and my wife and I are doing this separately. So she is taking Cecil to the doctor in the morning. I'm at home with the 6-year-old and the 4-year-old. And she calls and says, hey, they want us to go to the ER. I'm like, ah, okay. Scramble around, figure out some stuff, and I'm going to try to figure out how I can, you know, get there. And part of me was like, our kids have little, like, Amazon Fire tablets. So I'm like, I mean, those are kind of like parents, right? I could just be like, here, play on your tablets for a little bit. I'll be back. Just kidding. I didn't do that, so don't call CPS. And so we figured this out, and, you know, heading to the ER, and you have all the thoughts that you would have as anyone that's been in that situation. Whatever the situation is, you're kind of go through all the worst case scenarios, right? And I confess that to you, that I do that. I'm a human, and I'm driving going, what if my son is going to die? Is that sort of absurd? Probably. And yet I'm also kind of like, okay, like what's happening? Doctor says, we want to have him go to the ER because we want to get some tests done because he might have some disease. He actually said the word disease and it had a name. And then I'm like, I'm not going to look it up online. And I didn't, because I knew that it would only just be like, he really is, like, this is it, right? And so I get there and I meet him in the ER, and they've done all these poking and testing of things that are really unfortunate, right, for any of us. This two-year-old, I mean, stuff shoved up places. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's the whole thing, right? So I get, fortunately, I got there in time where they hadn't even, you know, they hadn't done the cath yet. So I was able to be there for that experience, and we worked through that, and we're sitting there. They do all the tests, and then they leave you in this room. And there's a little sign on the, they really were great. There's a little sign on the wall that says, if you had these tests done, you can roughly estimate this amount of time that you're going to wait. Okay, well, we had chest x-rays done. We didn't have any blood work done. But we had the RSV swab. We had lots of stuff, right? So on that little chart, it says, you could probably figure to be in here for about 60 minutes. And so Cecil's exhausted. He's asleep on Ty, sitting next to me, and I'm sitting there, and we're sitting there in this room, and we were forced to experience Sabbath. I sat there, and we're talking a little bit, and he's asleep, and you know, like when your computer screen goes into sleep mode, and some of you might have it set up where it just has the time, like it just goes back and forth on the screen. And so the screen of the computer in the ER room was just the time, literally counting down by seconds, going back and forth on the screen. And I found myself sitting there, being forced to stop, being forced in a way to kind of rest, being forced to experience Sabbath. Now, granted, they came back, all the tests were fine. Literally, they were like, everything's good. He had like a little bit of crud in his chest, so we're going to call it a chest virus, which means there's nothing that they can do. And we're like, awesome. I mean, obviously there's a piece of knowing that he doesn't have some sort of disease. There's also like in that moment where you know everything's going to be fine, where you kind of move into frustration a little bit. Maybe it's exhaustion. And you're like, ah, okay. And they just say, just manage the symptoms and he'll be fine. Sometimes life forces you and me to experience Sabbath. Sometimes you don't have any choice but to just stop, to rest from the work of work. When we talk about Sabbath from work, we can talk about work and jobs and responsibilities, and I think there's something else that when we talk about Jesus who is Sabbath, I think there's work that we do, and I called it the work of pretending. Right? There's the work of work where we have to survive, we have to live, we have to pay bills, we have to make sure they're, you know, doing the things that are going to help us to thrive and try to be healthy. Then I think there's also the work of pretending. These things like fear, stress, anxiety, worry, these things kill us. There are countless studies that talk about the physical impact of these things on our bodies, of stress, of anxiety, of worry. They manifest themselves in our bodies in very physical ways. And there are countless studies that show that. Actually, just saw somebody that's sitting here that is a licensed massage therapist, and I would guess that this individual could stand up here and say, I can physically attest that there is a physical thing that happens in the human body around stress and worry and anxiety. It manifests itself in certain ways, and to me, this is the work of pretending. let alone all of the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual stuff that fear, stress, anxiety, worry cause us to struggle with. The work of pretending happens when we hear the words at the end of this passage. It judges, it being the word of God, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, right? And we're sitting here going, oh boy. It keeps going. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. It keeps going. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the one to whom we must give an account. And all of a sudden, fear, worry, anxiety, and stress, the work I call the work of pretending. We pretend, we try to live in this hard work of pretending like we've got it all together. Like we've got it figured out. Like we're not a mess. Like I have no struggles. Like I'm strong. Like I don't need anybody's help and I can do this on my own. Thank you very much. We do the hard work of pretending, which to me is an impossible job. And that work kills us. It is exhausting. The work of pretending is not sustainable. Well, I don't have all these struggles. I don't need anybody. I don't need to stop. I don't need to rest because I'm just going to keep grinding away at this thing. And then the next thing we know, we find ourselves in these meltdowns of whatever kind, going, I'm not even sure what happened. I don't know how this happened. I don't know what happened. And now I'm sitting here in this mess. And yet what we then, as we find ourselves in that, here's what we most of us do. We come to the realization of sitting in the mess, and then we try to figure out, how am I going to keep pretending like I'm not in the mess? How am I going to try to keep pretending, doing the work of pretending like I'm not a hot mess right now? Well, I just got to keep grinding away at this. Jesus, who is Sabbath, wants to give you rest even from the work of pretending. Right? When Jesus invites those to come to him who are weary and burdened and do, and what does he say? I will give you rest. I will be your rest. You don't have to do the work of pretending anymore. So that when we read words like, and all will be laid bare, I mean, that is not just, you can think of for a moment the terror of what it might be like to be physically naked in front of a group of people. And it goes, it is a laid bare that is not just naked. It is your naked thoughts. It is your naked motives. It is your naked desires. It is your naked selfishness. Those are the things that the writer tells us will be laid bare before the one to whom we must give an account. And it causes us to be thinking that we've got to keep doing this work of pretending, as if somehow we can like pretend that God won't ultimately know. And Jesus says, so when we talk about Jesus as Sabbath, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear that it is those who choose to step away from, right? Sabbath means to stop, to cease, to remove the work of work. You need to be intentional about taking and making those times of rest. You should know that by now. So do it. You know that you feel better. You know you're more efficient. You're more effective. You know that you're a nicer person. You're a better Christian when you take time to physically rest from the work of work. It's a discipline. Figure it out. Do it. but also Jesus is offering you the rest from the work of pretending. And it's only the people who can cease from the work, whatever the work is, and all of those definitions, who are going to enter into the work of the struggles of life. That is what Jesus is inviting you into when he says, and I will give you rest. I will be your rest, your Sabbath. This is a celebration. This is a Sabbath celebration. This is a rest party. This is what Jesus, who is Sabbath, invites you and me into. It is come into this rest and celebrate. Celebrate your rest from the work of work, but maybe more importantly, celebrate the rest from having to pretend like you've got it all together, because you don't. I don't, and you won't. So let's come into the rest who is Jesus and celebrate. Let's have a party of rest. We don't have to pretend. And all this language that's happening as you read through the book of Hebrews talks about this. Sabbath uses this promised land sort of language as a place to enter into, that God has, that through Jesus has made a way for us to enter into the reality of this rest. And you can know this rest even today. Right? You can look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16, and talk about this sense of homeland, this idea of the promised land, this rest, the Sabbath that is Jesus, is a place to be. It's a homeland. It's a destination. The promised land was all about security, stability, freedom. You are free from the work of pretending. That is the Sabbath that Jesus offers. He talks about it in ways of talking about a city in chapter 11, verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in what? Joyful assembly. They are having a party of rest in Jesus. This place of security, stability, freedom, of possibility. What would it look like for you in your life this morning if you had possibility? As if you felt like maybe this morning as you sit here, you go, I don't feel like I have any possibility. And Jesus, who says, invites us into Sabbath, into who he is as Sabbath, says, I'm giving you the possibility of not having to do the work of pretending. I believe that we stand at a point of opportunity because the promise of God's rest still remains. This wasn't a thing that happened long ago. Well, Moses led some people through the wilderness. They almost got there. He didn't, but then eventually they did, and well, that was that. Well, then that eventually, if you know the story, that eventually fell apart. And then Jesus shows up and says, let me show you what Sabbath is. Let me take you by the hand and lead you into this promised land that is rest, that is possibility, that is hope, that is freedom. And I believe that this morning you and I we stand at this point of opportunity because that promise of God's rest still remains. It's still a valid thing that you have the choice to enter into. The Sabbath that Jesus offers to you is an invitation to rest from, to put an end to remove the work of fear, of stress, of worry in your life, even today. This can't be just some sort of mental exercise, but rather this thing that we strive to live into as a group of individuals in community, and that we realize in our own lives as individuals. that Sabbath is not just this promise of God's future celebration, but also something that we can know today. You know, part of our United Methodist theology asserts that we can have assurance, not insurance. That's a different theology. I won't go into that. But assurance, that we can know, that we can be assured of our relationship with Christ even today and future. That the Sabbath is something that comes through what we would talk about as salvation in and through the work of Christ, that we can be assured of that for us as individuals today, the now, and the not yet. And this morning, if you would say, I have no idea. I don't have any idea whether or not I cannot say with assurance, not insurance, with assurance, I cannot say that I can step into this rest that is Jesus. Then I would invite you to have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. I would love the opportunity to have a conversation with you one-on-one. And so you can call me, you can text me, you can Facebook me, you can email me, you can pull me aside, and we'll figure out a time that we can get together one-on-one and talk, see what that looks like for you. What does it look like for you as you think about, I don't know this assurance that you're talking about. I don't know that I can say that I know now, today, that I can step into this rest that is Sabbath, that is Jesus, and also in the not yet. Let's have some conversation, and let's see, let's talk about it, one-on-one, because I believe that Jesus, who is Sabbath, who is God, who is human, and we're going to talk about Jesus, who is is the best high priest, Jesus, who is God's final word, Jesus, who is our confidence, I believe that matters for us today, that it is not just a thing. Maybe that's the insurance theology, that the insurance theology would be like, oh, I want to know Jesus so that in the future I'm covered. To me, that's so lacking in who and what Jesus wants for you and me today, that Jesus invites you into his Sabbath today in the now and in the future. And if you find yourself going, I'm not really sure that I'm there, let's talk. Let's find some time. Let's hang out. And let's explore what that looks like as you think about Jesus and Sabbath and rest and how it impacts your life today and in the future. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for rest. We give you thanks that you actually command us to rest, because we confess to you that we're generally pretty terrible at it. That generally we don't really like to rest. We're just not good at it. And frankly, most of us sometimes won't even do it unless we're forced to in some way. And so we give you thanks that when you talk about Sabbath and you talk about rest, that it's not sort of a recommendation. It's not an option that you give us like, hey, you might want to consider, but rather you tell us to rest. You invite us into your Sabbath, who is Jesus. Jesus, who invites us to rest from the work of work, to rest from the work of pretending, and in that rest, to be set free. Lord, we give you thanks for walking beside us on this messy, bumpy journey that is life and faith. We pray that you would help us to be a group of people who can begin to model Sabbath. And then begin to see the ways in which, as we find our rest in you, everything begins to change. Thanks for being willing to meet us where we are and for loving us too much to leave us there.